Praise God. Okay. We are continuing the topic we started last Sunday. What happened in Eden? Or the doctrine of the serpent seed. We are continuing on that topic today. Praise God. I'll just take like 10 minutes to run a review of what we did last Sunday. Just for the interest of those who are not here or who are not connected last Sunday. Just 10 minutes. We'll run a review. We are looking at what happened in Eden. Or alternatively, you can call it the doctrine of the serpent seed. What was the sin of Adam and Eve that reduced us to this level that we are today? Hallelujah. That is what we are looking at. IT, please help me. Praise God. And I told you last Sunday that in this topic, there are two mysteries that are in focus or embedded in this doctrine of the serpent seed. And the first mystery is the mystery of iniquity. And I told you that the mystery of iniquity is how Satan entered, perverted the purpose of God, and took over control of mankind up to today. That is the mystery of iniquity. And the second mystery we'll see in this same topic is the mystery of godliness. And the mystery of godliness, or the mystery of God, is how God himself will show the Satan the way out of his program and took over man that he has created. That is the mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. These two mysteries are in this topic that we are looking at, what happened in Eden. Praise the name of the Lord. And last Sunday, there are scriptures I used for purpose of emphasis, for introduction. Dr. IT, please, let me have those scriptures, please. There are scriptures we looked at last Sunday for introduction. I think the first scripture there is Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 12. Can somebody help me? Let's run a review under 10 minutes so we can continue. Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Hallelujah. In this same chapter of Genesis chapter 1, God repeated this instruction in 5 verses. In verse 21, the same thing. Verse 24 and verse 25, God was still repeating the same instruction. Hallelujah. And what is this talking? What is this saying? God is saying every living thing, whether it is human, whether it is animal, whether it is plant, you must bear fruit after your kind. Hallelujah. That is to say, orange must produce an orange fruit. Mango must produce a mango fruit. Monkey must begat monkey. And snake must begat what? A snake. Human beings, you are to begat human beings. Hallelujah. And this instruction is for a purpose. If you go against this instruction, it means you want to produce something not after is kind. And it is a sin before God. Amen, somebody. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the second scripture is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews 9, 22, the second scripture in focus. This is for introduction.
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this second instruction, or the second law from God, when it was time for God to manifest his attribute as a savior, because the first law was broken, that first law in Genesis 1, 11, 12, that law was broken. And now it was time for God to manifest his attribute as a savior. He said no. Before he, God, will redeem man back to himself, blood must be shed. And why will God require blood before he saved mankind? Because what happened in the Garden of Eden, blood was involved. Hallelujah, somebody. Are you following me? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the next scripture there is 2 Corinthians 11.
For I am jealous over you.
This is Apostle
jealousy.
Paul talking. Go ahead, sir.
For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Verse 4.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might as well bear with him.
Hallelujah. Before I explain this, please, brother, help me read Galatians chapter 1. Let me match them together. Galatians 1, verse 6 to verse 8, up to 9.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Verse 8.
But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Verse 9 again.
As we said before, so say I now and again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
God bless you. Remember, we are looking at what happened in Eden. Hallelujah. What is the sin of Adam and Eve? What reduced us to this level we are today? That is what we are looking at. And please, we don't want to confuse you. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Apostle Paul was the one talking in 2 Corinthians 11, and it was an admonition unto the church of Jesus Christ. And in that admonition, he made reference to what happened in Eden. That is why I'm interested in that scripture. Apostle Paul made reference to what happened in Eden. And why that reference? Apostle Paul, hallelujah, was one of the seven-star messengers of the Gentile church age. And when the Jews rejected this gospel, God directed Apostle Paul to take this gospel to the Gentiles. And having done that, he had espoused the Gentiles unto one husband as a chaste virgin. Who is a chaste virgin? A word-based Christian. A Christian who is established in the word. A Christian that knows his left and right in the world. Not a Christian you can push over. That is how he established us. But he was afraid. Because while he was saying this to the church, it was almost at the time of his departure from the scene. And already, the mystery of iniquity had already started working in the church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. And he was admonishing the church to remain in our chaste state until we come into physical contact with our Savior husband. But the church didn't heed to that advice. Hallelujah. The church didn't listen to that instruction of Apostle Paul. Praise the name of the Lord. And that was exactly what happened in Eden. It may lead us to Genesis 3. I don't want to go there now. We'll come there. What happened in Eden? Praise God. Please don't be confused. You may have been taught in the past that what happened was sex for pleasure. Yes, even here, we have also upheld that teaching. Praise the name of the Lord. But there is a further light that's broke forth that we are following. Somebody say, thank God for further light. Hallelujah. And through the further light, we have come to discover that what actually happened was not sex for pleasure. What caused the fall of man wasn't that sex. Yes, sex took place, but that was not what caused the curse of man. What causes the curse of man is what Apostle Paul also said in Galatians chapter 1, where we read, Eve listened to another gospel. Amen. So the sex for pleasure was as a result of what happened. Sex for pleasure is a confirmation that already they were sinners. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me also interject this here. But there is a pilgrim character that is expected of every one of us that is on this journey to glory land. That is a pilgrim character. Our Savior husband is expected of us. And that pilgrim character was displayed by Rebecca, the wife of Isaac, in Genesis 24. You can read it on your own. Because of time, let me pick one or two things from that scripture. In Genesis 24, hallelujah, Abraham, the father of Isaac, sent Eliezer, his household servant, and his steward, to his town in Nahor, Mesopotamia, to go and find a wife for his only son, Isaac. Amen, somebody. Now, Eliezer took off and went to Mesopotamia, Nahor, the town of Abraham. And by divine providence, he found a wife for Isaac in the name of Rebekah. Hallelujah. Rebekah don't know who Isaac was. Rebekah don't know who is called Abraham. He have not seen them before. He doesn't know their country. She doesn't know their tradition. But based on what she had from Eliezer, she accepted to marry Isaac. Hallelujah. Now, after all said and done, they are repaid and all the protocol observed there. Rebekah accepted to follow Eliezer and his company back to their town, not knowing where she was going. Praise God. Along the journey, there was no report Search the scripture. There was no report that Rebecca ever changed her mind concerning Isaac. The journey from Nahor, Mesopotamia, back to Hebron was not an easy journey. Hallelujah. It lasted for hours, maybe even days. Not an easy journey. But why on that long journey, this young girl can only find comfort and consolation in the word of Eliezer concerning Isaac? Until she came into physical contact with Isaac, she never shake her mind. Praise the name of the Lord. That is a quality pilgrim character, a quality Christian life that is expected of every child of God, if you know your right in the world. The idea of is happening and worry, Christian, you are in worry to experience what is happening. It's happening in Ekotu. Christian, you are in Ekotu. You want to know what is happening. It's happening in Oshodi. You are in Oshodi. You want to see what is happening. It is not a quality Christian character. You are being carried away by every wind of doctrine. Hallelujah. It is not expected of us. Praise the name of the Lord. So, Rebecca is a good example for us. Praise God. So, Apostle Paul admonished the church, but we couldn't heed to his advice. So, let's look at this thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. That brought death to mankind. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Man was ordained to have eternal life. Man was ordained, Adam was ordained to produce sons and daughters that will live eternally with God. But what happened? Why men slept? The enemy came in and sought us. What happened? A foreign substance, praise God, totally strange in nature and not of its kind, was introduced in the body of the woman, Eve. And that foreign substance that was introduced in the body of Eve was the blood gene of the serpent, who was demonically influenced. Satan was the one motivating the serpent to do what he did in the Garden of Eden. Praise God. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, in the animal kingdom, remember the law of God in Genesis 1, 11, 12. God was warning them against mixture. This is what mixture can cause in the animal kingdom. Science, they have hybridized the man and donkey and produced the moo. They hybridized ligers and the tigress. The lion and the tigress, and they produce what? The liger. Hybridized the zebra and the she-ass, and they produce the zintong. All these hybrids, they are sterile. They are unfruitful. They cannot produce another life physically. Donkey, they bear children. They bear children. No. Because they are products that are against the natural law of God. So they are dead. They can't produce life. Hallelujah. And in type, look at our denominational churches. You can understand why there is spiritual death among them. Because they have fornicated with, they have committed what I call spiritual fornication by mixing the word of God, the pure word of God, with man-made tradition. So they can't produce life. God hates mixture. Anything not of his kind is contrary to his law. Praise the name of the Lord. Somebody praise the name of the Lord. So let's look at what happened now. Hallelujah. Now the next scripture there in emphasis is John chapter 3. Before we look at what happened, John chapter 3 verse 3. John 3 verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why must a man be born again? Because what happened in the Garden of Eden condemned all of us that came through that system. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. So, you want to go back to God, the only condition is that you must be born again. The animal nature in us must be washed away by only one substance, the blood of the Lamb. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So what are these things that happen? Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, verse 8, verse 9.
And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, before we understand Genesis chapter 2, 8, 9, we are going to look at what I call symbolic languages. Because Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, there is a play of word around that verse. Hallelujah. There is a play of words. Please show me that scripture. Genesis 2:9.
Such is the way of an...
Genesis 2:9. Genesis 2 verse 9. Again.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
There is a natural garden. There is no controversy about that. God planted a natural garden in the east of Eden where natural trees, natural vegetations grew out of the ground, and they were for food for Adam and Eve. They can freely eat of the fruit of these natural trees that grew from the ground. There are three types of trees in the Garden of Eden. Three types. You have the natural trees that grew from the ground in the garden. There are two other trees that did not grow from the ground, and they were not literal trees. So what are these trees? The Bible calls it the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What are these two trees, and why are they called by such names? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's look at some symbolic languages, some symbolic languages so that we can understand what the scripture is talking about. And please, there is something about symbolic language. Let me emphasize it here. There is something about symbolic language. Symbolic language is a language of God. Hello? Symbolic language is a language of God. And you cannot learn the language of God. You can learn your own language. You can learn the language of other countries and other nations, other tribes. But you cannot learn the language of God. The language of God can only be revealed to you. Do you understand me? It can only be revealed to you by God. And until it is revealed to you, you can never understand it. I want to show you the source of misinterpretations of scripture. Hallelujah. Why we are holding one Bible and we are saying different things, Christians? Because human preachers, teachers of the word of God, they have tried to interpret symbolic language with human wisdom, human understanding, and each time they do that, they throw us into confusion. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible we read, the Bible is like a lover's letter to his beloved. Hallelujah. The Bible is a lover's letter to his beloved. Therefore, it is only the one that is in love with the writer that will understand the expressions therein. Are you getting me? If you are not in love with the writer, everything he says in the letter will sound to you like parable. That is how the Bible is. So not every preacher can interpret the word of God. I said last Sunday, you can be a lecturer, you can be a professor, yet the interpretation of the word of God will not be revealed to you. You don't interpret scripture with academic knowledge. It can only be revealed. So let's look at these symbolic languages. The first one there is it. Genesis 2:9. It. The first word we're going to look at is it. And I want us to understand it. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life and the tree of... Okay. It's okay. Now, it is what I want to look at. And let's look at the book of Proverbs 30 verse 20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wiped her mouth and said, I have done no wickedness. Then, we have tried to use this scripture in the past to establish that what happened in Eden was sex for pleasure. Praise the name of the Lord. But we have come to discover, thank God our pastor, through the further light, that it is not actually sex for pleasure. If you apply this scripture to what happened in Eden, you will get it wrong. Why? Because the Bible said, this woman here in Proverbs 30:20, she ate and wiped off her mouth. She cleaned her mouth and denied that she didn't do anything wicked. Praise God. But when Eve ate, Genesis 3 verse 6, when Eve ate, Eve did not deny her action. Hello? Eve owned up when she was confronted.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
God bless you. Praise God. Did Eve deny? When God came to confront her, Eve owned up. Rather, she blamed the serpent for deceiving her. Praise God. So if you apply Proverbs 30:20, you will miss the contest. But there is another it we are going to look at. In John chapter 6, from verse 50 up to verse 54.
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you.
54.
Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Hallelujah. This is the eat God was referring to in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. Does it mean that they will kill Jesus, tear him into pieces, and start eating the flesh, and start drinking the blood? Is that what that scripture is saying? No. Praise God. Now, when Adam and Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin was imputed upon them, and the result was death. And death is spiritual death. They were separated from God. So, God keep away that tree of life from them so that they will not have access to it. Am I saying something? Now, 4,000 years after, God now returned that same tree of life back to mankind, that we may eat and have life. Praise God. Amen. So Jesus is that tree of life that a man should eat and have eternal life. John chapter 5, 24 and 25. Hallelujah. So what is that it now talking about?
Here, John, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth
he that heareth my word. Who is speaking? Who is speaking here? Jesus himself. Talking to these Jews. He that heareth my word. The first Adam in the Garden of Eden, they had something that caused them to fall from faith. Hallelujah. Now the second Adam, he say, before you have eternal life, you must also hear something. Praise God. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it is not eating, consuming food with your mouth. It is hearing the right word. It is having the right understanding of who that Jesus is. Am I saying something? Are you following me? Praise God. Now let's look at the next word, understanding symbolic language. The next word there is garden. Hallelujah. Garden. Praise God. When the Bible said garden, truly, there was a natural garden that God planted in the east of Eden, where natural trees grew from the ground for food for Adam and Eve. But there is also another garden in Eden. That second garden is not natural. That second garden is spiritual garden. Let's look at Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12.
A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed.
Hallelujah. What a garden is King Solomon talking about here? He's talking about the human body as a garden, not natural garden. So, if the human body is a garden by the scripture, that means God brought Eve, gave him to Adam as what? A garden. You must understand the commission of Adam and Eve. What was their commission? Be fruitful and multiply. Now, how will the multiplication take place? There must be a garden now where the seed will be planted. Remember the law of God. Genesis 1, 11, 12. Every living thing you must produce after your kind. If therefore was a channel where Adam will produce sons and daughters after his kind. So that spiritual garden there is the womb of the woman. Are you following me? Let's look at the next symbolic language. If you are following me, shall praise the Lord. The next symbolic language is three. Three. It is not every tree in the scripture. He's talking about literal tree or natural tree. God used these languages to hide the truth from the wise and the prudent so that he can reveal it unto the humble in spirit. Praise God. Look at Luke 21, verse 29.
And he spake to them a parable. Mm-hmm. Behold the fig tree.
Behold the fig tree.
And all the trees.
And all the trees. Praise God. What is this fig tree that Jesus here is talking about? Is it a natural tree? No. Jesus was describing Israel as a fig tree. And other trees, other nations surrounding, he was describing them as what? Trees. Not natural trees. Hallelujah. But it's a language of God to hide truth. Daniel used the same word tree in Daniel 4, 10, 11 to describe a king. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. 11. Okay, it's okay. Okay, hallelujah. That tree there was referring to a king, not a natural tree. Praise the name of the Lord. So you don't classify every tree you see in the Bible as a literal tree. God used some of this word, his own word, to hide the truth while revealing it to his children. The next symbolic word there is fruit. Fruit. Of course, this is simple. Women can understand this one better. Fruit. It's not everything that is fruit. It's literal. Praise God. So let's look at the scripture. Fruit. Deuteronomy 28:4.
Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruits of thy ground,
uh-huh.
and the fruits of thy cattle,
uh-huh.
the increase of thy kind,
uh-huh.
and the flocks of thy sheep.
God bless you. Psalm 127 verse 3. Psalm 127 verse 3.
Lo, children are an heritage of the law,
uh-huh.
and the fruit of the womb is his reward.
God bless you. Praise God. Children are the fruit of the womb. Does it mean children are fruit? Literal fruit? No. That is the language of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now let's look at Eden. What is this Eden? What is the meaning of Eden? Eden means a delight. A delightful place. A place where the presence of God dwells among his children. And that is a symbol of the church. Praise God. In that same Eden, where the presence of God dwells, that is where Satan also anoints his own ministers and send them to that same Eden to cause confusion, to pervert the purpose of God in Eden. As we see today, praise the name of the Lord. As we see today going on in Eden of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan has anointed his ministers and sent them in the church of Jesus to do what? To pervert the true gospel of the Lord Jesus. Satan has ministers, yes. 2 Corinthians 11:13. Satan has ministers. 2 Corinthians 11:13.
For such are false apostles.
Such are false apostles.
Deceitful workers.
Deceitful workers.
Transforming themselves.
They are transforming themselves
into the apostles,
into apostles of Christ. Go ahead, 14. Verse 14.
And no marvel,
uh-huh.
for Satan himself.
They are Oga Kwata himself.
Is transformed into an angel of
light. Transformed himself into an angel of light. Verse 15.
Therefore, it is no great thing.
It's not a big thing.
If his ministers also be transformed,
oh, blessed
as
be the
ministers
name of,
the
Lord.
Of righteousness.
Now, Satan have ministers. Do Satan have ministers? Now, me talk, I'm in the Bible. Praise God. So he has transformed his own ministers also and sent them in this Eden of God to do what? To cause, to pervert the ways of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, what is the purpose of the reproductive organ? Praise God. Now, there is something I miss in explaining the garden. There is something I miss. In that garden, praise God. In that spiritual garden, hallelujah. In that spiritual garden, the Bible says, in the midst of the garden, in the midst of that spiritual garden, there is sexual reproductive organ in the midst of the garden. Praise God. In the midst of the garden is sexual reproductive organ. And this sexual reproductive organ is governed by two laws. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of truth and evil are two laws governing the reproductive organ. Hallelujah. The divine way of life is represented by the tree of life. The perverted way that leads to death is represented by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Praise God. Adam and Eve were also free to eat from the tree of life, but it has an appointed time and season. Hallelujah. They were free to eat from the tree of life, but for the appointed time. But what happened here? Before the time, Satan has anointed his own minister and sent him to the woman to go and pervert the purpose of God. So as soon as Adam stepped out of the house, Satan came in. The interest was the womb of that woman. He stepped in. Praise the name of the Lord. And Can we look at Genesis chapter 3 briefly? Let me show you something. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 from verse 1.
And when Genesis, the woman saw that...
Genesis 3 from verse 1.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden.
Go ahead.
But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Now this is the serpent preaching another gospel. Verse 4.
And the serpent said
unto
the woman.
This is where serpent preach another gospel. See the another gospel here. Verse 4.
And the serpent said unto the woman.
The serpent said unto the woman.
Ye shall not surely
die. No, you will not die. Hallelujah. Was that the instruction of God to Adam? No.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
God bless you, brother. That is where Satan preached another gospel to the woman. Praise God. Adam was a son of God. Adam had the true word of God. Adam knew his word, the word of God. He was a son of God. So Satan also knew that if he go through Adam, he will fail. Because Adam knows the word. So as soon as Adam stepped out, he approached the woman. He anointed the serpent, sent him to the woman. Now, when he came to the woman, he changed the commandment of God to a question and threw it to Eve. Ye had God said, is that what God told Adam? The commandment of God was a straightforward commandment. Don't eat this food. Genesis 3, 15 to 17. Straightforward commandment, Genesis 3.
And now I will put enmity.
No. Genesis 3, 17, sorry. No,
and unto Adam, he
sorry. I'm getting it wrong. Genesis 2, 17 to 19. Sorry. I want to show you the commandment of God to Adam. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was the commandment of God to Adam. Not a question. It was the serpent that changed it to a question and threw it to the woman. Eve fell. Praise God. Her answer proved that Eve, her understanding was affected. Praise God. Satan with sweet, the serpent rather, with sweet mouth, tuned this woman, convinced this woman with a sweet mouth until the understanding of the woman was affected. Eve added a word that God never spoken. Ye shall not touch. There was, God didn't say don't touch. Nothing like that. It was Eve that added that word there. Because she was under enchantment of the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah, somebody. So, she yielded to the subtlety of the serpent. The smartness, the intelligence of the serpent. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, somebody. Sorry, I cannot round up this message today. Be by next Sunday, we shall continue. You have questions, just one or two questions. You can throw your question. Let's see. But please, let your question be centered on this teaching. I beg you, don't take me out of this teaching. I beg. Praise God. Ask me questions based on this teaching. Hallelujah. And the Lord will bless you.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, ma'am.
Because for a number of years, I've not really...
You are... Sorry.
Sir?
Your name again?
I say for a number of years, I did not really understand what happened in the Garden of Eden. And God has used you to really throw light.
God bless you.
What... It was an area that really puzzled me. So we have seen that the serpent got Eve. Does it mean that the husband did not have any resistance at all? Adam did not have any resistance.
Hallelujah.
The Satan got Eve. In Genesis 2:17, Adam heard the commandment as well as the wife. The wife was gotten so easily. Why did he not stand on the instruction of God? It seems as he did not have any resistance. Immediately she got to him, he yielded.
Praise God. Now, let's look at Genesis, I think Genesis chapter 3, is it verse 18 or verse 19, where God was, you know, meting out punishment. No, where God told Adam, where Adam answered, let me see 19, God answered Adam, where I am going, God said, when he was personing Adam, Adam hearkened unto the voice of his wife. That is where I'm going. I don't know whether it's in verse 17 or verse, where Adam hearkened, the Bible said that Adam hearkened unto the voice of his wife. Praise God. Who can help me, please? Genesis what? And unto Anna, yes, 17, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Praise God. That is where I'm going. Now, listen, man. Hallelujah. Adam was a son of God. He knew what the word of God is. That word hearkened is not obedient. He did not obey. But the Bible says he hearkened. That means there would have been some argument in the house. Adam succumbed under pressure. Hallelujah. Mommy, are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
He succumbed under pressure. But for the love he has for the wife, he has to do the bidding of the wife. If Adam loses Eve, it means he will live alone in that garden forever. Are you understanding me? So that was why he has to do the bidding of the wife. Not that it wasn't an easy argument. It wasn't easy. Praise God. But he doesn't want to break his home. So he has to do what the wife. It's not like, okay, come and do this thing. No. There was an argument. Adam was pointing to the original word of God. And Eve was insisting. This thing, where would they look ourselves here? Something there here. Hallelujah. Come and test it. Adam, look, what did this man go do? Praise God. So, he hearkened unto the voice of the wife. He knew what to do, but he had to obey the wife. Praise the name of the Lord. Mommy, are you clear? God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please, tomorrow 7 p.m. Okay, sorry, sir. One question. There is a question on the screen. Genesis 4:1. Adam had sex and bear both Cain and Abel. Genesis 2:4-25. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. The genealogy of Adam, as seen in Genesis 5:3, Adam bare a son in his own likeness, with his statement, Cain was not conceived from his own likeness. The word likeness means wish. The serpent beguiled Eve, and Eve beguiled Adam. So what is the question? Adam had Cain through the wish of the woman and through the misleading of the serpent, who was under the influence of Lucifer. So I believe Cain is not the image of Adam, seed begotten through his own wish. And there is no scripture talking about the seed of the serpent in Genesis. I hope Brother Samuel Joseph can clarify his stand for me now that he hopefully understands my fruit. Brother Indim Kammex from United Arab Emirates. Praise God. Please, sir, let me answer this last question. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Genesis 4:1. Let's see. Genesis 4:1. Can I have it on the screen? Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Hallelujah. If you study this verse very well, verse 1 and verse 2, let me see verse 2, sir. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, verse 1, let me then emphasize on verse 1. Hallelujah. If you study verse 1 very well, it was Eve talking, not Adam. In verse 1, Genesis 4:1. Now, Eve the talk, no be Adam. And what did Eve say? That she has gotten a man from the Lord. Not begotten, she has gotten. Hallelujah. Eve has gotten, not begotten. Brother, are you listening to me? I hope you are connected. Praise God. That means Cain was not a begotten son of Adam. Praise God. What is the meaning of Cain? Cain means acquisition. He was acquired, not a begotten son. Praise God. If you go to the genealogy of Adam, Genesis chapter 5, you will notice that the name of Cain was not mentioned in the genealogy of Adam. Genesis 5, if you read it on your own. Praise God. And when we talk of generation or geology, we are talking about family life tree. Amen, somebody. Praise God. We are talking about the family life tree. If we are talking about the family life tree or the geology of generation of a family, it does mean that every firstborn in that family must come in the picture. Am I saying something? Every first son born in that family, his name was mentioned in the genealogy of the family. But Cain was not mentioned in the genealogy of Adam, which is a proof that he was not the begotten son of Adam. Hallelujah. Secondly, he said, that brother said, he did not see anywhere in the scripture that serpent seed was mentioned. Praise God. Remember, I told you at the beginning of this teaching, now there are two mysteries we are looking at in this topic, the serpent seed. Hallelujah. Brother, from United Arab Emirates. Now, if you are looking to see where God mentioned serpent seed in the Bible, then why is that topic a mystery? Why is it mystery? What is a mystery? Hallelujah. Mystery is a secret, a hidden truth that God will only reveal to those who belong to Him.
Praise the Lord. Okay, that is over for today. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? We'll continue next time. The question you asked,